Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Pei Beis. We left off on daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. I believe we got to the two dots, so we are 6-7 lines from the bottom at the two dots. Hilvahu ala mashkon shomer sachar. Someone lends money and takes a mashkon in exchange to hold on to until he gets paid back. So his shmira on the mashkon, he's responsible like a shomer sachar. Now, just to be clear what that means, going into this gemara, that would mean if it's nigna v'nevad, if it gets lost or stolen while under his care, he's going to be responsible for it. The lender is going to be responsible for it. And as such, it's going to cancel out the money that he's owed. So let's see how the Gemara deals with this. It says the Gemara, Lema Masnisin Delo Rabbi Eliezer. It seems, therefore, that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Detanya, because we have a Braisa that says as follows. Hamalves Chaveru Al Amashkon V'Avar Amashkon. What happens? You lend someone money, you take a Mashkon, and then the Mashkon actually gets lost. So now, are you responsible? So Yishava v'yitol ma'osav divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says all you have to do is swear that you weren't posheya with the mashkon, and as long as you weren't posheya, you can still get paid back your money, and the mashkon doesn't cancel out any part of your loan whatsoever. Apparently, you're shomer chinam, right? Because shomer chinam is only chayiv and pshia, so you just swear that you weren't posheya, and you're good to go. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Right there is where we see that our mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer. Right? Right there is the question. We're going to quote the rest of the brisa. But that's the point, that Rabbi Eliezer says that apparently you're only chayv on pshia, you're putter on Gnev Aveda, and our Mishnah said you're responsible like a Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Yachal lomer lo klum al visani ela lamashkon, the borrower can tell the lender, wait a second, you lent me money and you insisted on taking a mashkon. Avad a mashkon, avad ma'osecha. So since the whole loan was only on the condition that you get a mashkon, you lose the mashkon, you lose your loan, you lose the money. The mashkon was there as payment, as potential payment for the loan. And it seems to be that it's a fundamental machlokas as to what the function of a mashkon is. Is a mashkon not payment, it's just sort of security? Or do we say, no, that the mashkon is, in addition to being security, which it may be, is also going to be considered the beginning of payment, or the potential payment, if the person doesn't come up with the money. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he can say, look, you got your payment, you took the mashkon is your payment, you lost the mashkon, you lost your payment. Aval, hilvau elav zuz bishtar. But if he lent him $1,000 and there was a shtar on it, so wait a second, why would you take a mashkon when you have a shtar? If you're going to view the role of a mashkon purely as security, just to make sure you're able to collect, well, if you have a shtar, you'll be able to collect, right? You have the security already. So it must be that when you have a shtar, if you take a mashkon on top of that, that the mashkon is not serving in the role of security, but rather it's serving in the role of payment. So then, v'niyach l'mashkon aleim, if you take a mashkon on top of the shtar, divrei akol avad amashkon avdu ma'osav. Everyone would say the mashkon serves as payment, and therefore if you lose the mashkon, you lose your money, because the mashkon was supposed to be meant as payment. The way I just explained it is exactly how Rashi explains it. If you look at Tosos on the top Tosos, at the top of the page, divrei akol avad amashkon avdu ma'osav, says Tosos, pirshu, lekach modir ablazar mishum dahavi shalo bishas halva asal. He says, the reason why Reb Lazar's moda in this case, where it was halva bishtar, and then you took a mashkon, is because the mashkon was given not at the time of the loan. If the mashkon was meant as security, it would have been given, you would have insisted that you get the mashkon as soon as you give the guy the money. So it must be that the mashkon is meant as payment because it wasn't given at the time of the loan. V'kani mashkon, therefore you're kona the mashkon because it was shalom b'shas halva. That's really the key point, meaning that went unmentioned in this brisa. The brisa said, no, if it's with shtar, everyone agrees that the mashkon is not being given as security, it's being given as payment, and therefore you're going to be responsible for it. But says Tosas, it's not really about shtar. It's really about when the mashkon is given. Is it given at the time of the loan or not? Ushtar dinakat lav davka. The fact that we happen to mention that it's with a shtar is not really relevant. It's not really important. Elolomar da'ayri shalom b'shas halvaso. The key is we're coming up with a case where the mashkon is given not at the time where the loan is originally given. The kiven shas ashtar v'stamel olakach mashkon b'shas halva ad achrekein. Right? Meaning the only reason we mention that it's a shtar is because shtar is the most typical case where you're not taking the mashkon at the time of the alva. Why would you take a mashkon at the time of the alva if you have a shtar? So it's mistama that the mashkon is given later. But that's really the key. The key is not whether you have a shtar or not. The key is whether the mashkon is given at the shas halvah or the mashkon is given later. If you look, Vayter in Tosfos says that on Rashi's pshat, we have he asks a couple of kashas on Rashi's pshat. One of them is, Amaykar masnisu mechavarta, all the way down, midway through the Tosos, Amaykar masnisu mechavarta delok Reb Elazar. Why would you automatically assume our Mishnah is against Reb Elazar according to Rashi's pshat? Lukma b'shtar demod Reb Elazar. All you have to do is say that our Mishnah is talking about where you take a mashkon with a shtar, and Reb Elazar is moda when you take a mashkon with a shtar. Reb Elazar is going to be moda that if you have a shtar and then you take a mashkon on top of it, that the mashkon is going to be payment, is going to be considered payment, and if you lose the mashkon, you lost your money. So you bear the responsibility of a shomer sachar. So why do you have to say that the Mishnah is going against Reb Elazar, where Reb Elazar says you only have a din like a shomer chinam, and the Mishnah says you have a din of a shomer sachar, if there's a simple case where Reb Elazar is moda that you would have a din of a shomer sachar, namely when there was a shtar? Just say the Mishnah is talking about that case, and therefore the Mishnah is going both like Reb Elazar and like Rabbi Akiva. So what you see is that it can't be that Rashi is right, also says. It has to be that Rashi is incorrect, that Reb Elazar is only going to be moda when the mashkon was given shalom b'shas halva. Our Mishnah clearly is talking about a mashkon that's given b'shas halva, as we'll soon see in the Gemara. So you can't say that our Mishnah is going like Reb Elazar. That's why the Gemara pushes to say that the Mishnah is against Reb Elazar. However, it says Tosfos, maybe we could be metaritz for Rashi. Umiyu yesh letaritz til vavu al mashkon mashma b'lo shtar. Maybe the reason we didn't want to say the Mishnah was talking about where there was a shtar is maybe the lashon hilvo ala mashkon implies that the loan happened only on the mashkon, but there was nothing else securing the loan besides for the mashkon, meaning maybe the lashon implies that there was no shtar. Va'o di imas nisim mari b'shtar, lava polig Rabbi Yehuda, damar avol mal shamar chinam, d'lo yachlok Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva. He says, besides for that, in the Mishnah, we're working with the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. We're trying to say that when we say that the Mishnah is not like Reb Elazar, we're trying to say Tanakhama of the Mishnah is not like Reb Elazar, right? Where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Now, if we could very easily say that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah agrees with both, is talking about where there is a shtar, and therefore he agrees with both Reb Elazar and with Rabbi Akiva, then it's very difficult to say that Rabbi Yehuda is going to come along and argue on both Reb Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who distinguishes between whether the loan was money or the loan was peros, it's difficult to say that he would take on both Reb Elazar and Rabbi Akiva in a case where there was a shtar. Maybe that's why Rashi assumes that the Gemara does not want to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of halva b'shtar, and therefore goes both for Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbi Akiva. Okay, anyway, back in the Gemara. So we had just said that this brisa seems to be against pit Rabbi Eliezer against the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that someone who's a shomer mashkon has a din of a shomer sachar. Rabbi Eliezer says if you're a shomer mashkon, you're not responsible for it. If it gets lost, as long as you aren't posheya, you could still get paid back. Apparently, you only have a din of a shomer chinam. So answers the Gemara, afilu tamei Rabbi Elazar. No, maybe our Mishnah can be going even like Rabbi Elazar. Lo kasha, and it's not a stira at all. Can Rabbi Elazar, when he says you have a din of a shomer chinam, he's talking about shemashkon of a shas halva. So he's talking about where you got the mashkon at the time of the alva. And therefore, since you got the mashkon at the time of the alva, when you lose the mashkon, you haven't lost your payment, because it wasn't meant as payment. It was clearly only meant as security. Excuse me. Kan shemashkino shalom b'shas halva aso, but the Mishnah, when it says that you have a dinner of a shomer sachar, that the shomer mashkon has a dinner of a shomer sachar, it's talking about a mashkon that was given not at the time of halva. So since the mashkon was given not at the time of halva, so it was given more likely as a quasi payment, and therefore, if you lose the mashkon, you lost your ability to get paid, because your whole ability to get paid was totally in that mashkon. Good. So that's how our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Elazar. So says Gemara, no, va'idi v'idi hilvo ala mashkon katani. Problem is, both the Braisa and the Mishnah have a lashon of hilvahu al hamashkon. Hilvel al hamashkon implies that I lent you the money because you're giving me a mashkon. Not that I lent you the money and sometime later you came over to me and said, hey, take a mashkon. It had to have been at the Shas Halva. Hilvo al hamashkon, the lashon implies that it was b'shas halva. So it was a clever answer to be able to say that the Mishnah maybe is talking about shalom b'shas halva, so, but the words simply don't fit. You can't say that hilvo al hamashkon means shalom b'shas halva, so it doesn't. Hilvo al hamashkon always means b'shas halva. So Tosla says, really? Does Hilvo al hamashkon always mean that it's b'shas halva? So Tosla's on the bottom, v'yidi video of Pei Alpha and Beis. V'yidi video of al hamashkon katani says, mashma, the mal v'chaver al hamashkon mashma b'shas halva. That the phrase mal v'chaver al hamashkon always means b'shas halva. It says, v'tema, but that's very strange. T'beperka shaleach ka'amar, t'na'an ha'malves chaver al hamashkon, v'abosu shrosu v'beis, din enu m'shamet. That the Gemara says, m'sechus gittin. That if you are malva al hamashkon, then Shemitah is not going to be Meshameh, that halva'ah. Shemitah will not cancel such a loan. Umefarish hasam, ta'amava ala mashkon eno Meshameh, mishum dekanile. Why? Why is Shemitah not going to cancel a loan that has a mashkon? So the Gemara explains, because we're assuming that the Balchov is kone mashkon, that the lender is kone the mashkon, that he has a kinyan on that mashkon. Like we're going to see the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. V'lo kama Rabbi Yitzchak, ela shalom b'shas halva'asam. Problem is, Rabbi Yitzchak only holds your kona mashkon when you got that mashkon shalom b'shas halva aso. So again, in Gittin we say malves chaveru al hamashkon. There's not going to be any shmita affecting that loan. But we're saying, why is there no shmita that affects that loan? Because we're assuming, like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that when you don't get the mashkon at the time of the halva, rather you get it at some later time, you're kona it. So the whole din of Amalves Chaver Al Mashkon in Meseches Gittin is Dafka talking when it's not the Shas Halva. So how can you say over here, how can the Gemara say over here, that the phrase Malva Al Mashkon clearly implies it's at the Shas Halva? Clearly in Meseches Gittin we don't assume that way. In Meseches Gittin, when we talk about Shemitah not being Meshameit, Amalva Al Mashkon, we're assuming Malva Al Mashkon means Shalom B'Shas Halva. So says Tosfos in the second wide line, V'yishlomer, Tekivet Shalobishas Halva, Kanile Legamri means Rabbi Yitzchak. When it's Shalobishas Halva, Rabbi Yitzchak says the Balchov is Kona it completely. He makes a full fledged Kinyan on it. So the Gemara in Gittin is simply saying as follows Halva Anami Deleka Kinyan, Ela Shibud, Alam Shibud Elichashev, Velo Shalachich Biyadecha. When I lend, Bishas Halva Anami rather, when I lend money and I get a mashkun at the Shas Halva, so granted, maybe I'm not Kona it Legamri. Right, Rabbi Yitzchak only holds on Kone Legamri when I get it Shalom B'Shas Halva. So maybe when I get it at the time of the loan, it's not a full Kinyan. But at least the Shibud should be great enough to cancel out Shemitah. At least it should be strong enough to make it that Shemitah should cancel out the loan. So that's all the Gemara in Gittin is saying. It's not saying that the case of Hamalva al Hamashkon, of Hamalva al Hamashkon, is when I take the Mashkon way after the Halva. No, it's talking about where I get the Mashkon at the Shas Halva. But we use Rabbi Yitzchak as a source for that din, even though Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about Shalom B'Shas Halva, because Rabbi Yitzchak gives us an insight into the relationship between the Malva and the Mashkon. Right? When Rabbi Yitzchak says that the Balchov is Kona, the Mashkon, the Gamri, when it's not B'Shas Halva, it must mean that when it is B'Shas Halva, he has a quasi-kinyan, that he has some stake in it. And if he has some stake in it, what does that mean? It means enough of a stake that it's not considered a loan that Shemitah is going to be Meshamed. It's at least not considered Lo Shalachicha Biyadecha, that you have someone else's property in your hands. That's the more complicated answer. The more Pashut answer, Tosfos Rush says, although you could argue whether you like it or not, Tosfos Rush says, you could simply say that there's a difference between the phrase Hilvahu Al Hamashkon, which is what we have in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, our Braisa, which implies the Shas Halva'a, and Hamalva Al Hamashkon. That might imply both B'Shas Halva and Shalom B'Shas Halva. Problem is, they're very similar. It's really difficult to be mechalik between those two lashonos. But anyway, that's how It's also Rashi's Metaritz, that maybe in Gittin, where it uses Lashon Malva ala Mashkon, it doesn't have to be B'shas Alva. But by us, when we say Hilvahu ala Mashkon, implies B'shas Alva. So either way, bottom line, at the end of the day, we're back to our question, that Rabbi Eliezer seems to be against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when I'm watching over a Mashkon that you gave me for a loan that I gave you, our Mishnah says, I have a din of a Shomer Sachar on that Mashkon, and if it gets lost or stolen, I'm responsible, the lender's responsible. And Rabbi Elazar said, no, you're a Shomer Chidim, just swear that you weren't Poshea and you're not responsible for anything. So says the Gemara, Elo lo kasha. No, it's not a stira. Kan shelvo maos, kan shelvo peros. It all depends what he lent him. If he lent him money or if he lent him peros. Rabbi Elazar says that you have a din of a Shomer Chidim is talking about where you were lent money. The Mishnah, where it says you have a din of a Shomer Sachar, is talking about where you lent him peros. Why? What difference does it make? Because we already explained once, if I lent him peros, so it's good for me, because I can't eat all these peros right now, nor do I want to. So I lent him the peros. Now, if I were to keep them till I want them in a month from now, they're all going to rot, and they'll be disgusting. I won't be able to eat them. So much better for me to lend him peros. 30 days from now, he'll return to me the same peros, right, the same amount of peros, but they're going to be fresh, right? So that's very good. So if I'm malva him peros, it's as if I'm getting schar. It's as if I'm getting paid for the loan, because I'm certainly benefiting from lending him the peros. That's why when I'm malva al mashkon and it's peros, I'm going to be considered a shomer sachar. But malva al mashkon and it's only a monetary loan, I'm going to be considered a shomer chinam. So it's not a stira. That's why Rabbi Elazar really fits with the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar is talking about hilval maos. Mishnah is talking about hilval peros. Says the Gemara, not so fast. V'amidiktani seifa, you have to read the next line of the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, what's the next line of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hilvahu maos shomer chinam, hilval peros shomer sachar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Tanakama, you're wrong. If you lend him money, you're right, then you're a if you lend him money, you should only be a Shomer Chinam. It's only if you lend him peros that you're a Shomer Sachar, that you're right that he's a Shomer Sachar. So that clearly implies, Mechal del Tanakam, lo shanilei, that the Tanakam would say whether you lend money or whether you lend peros, either way you're going to be a Shomer Sachar. So the Tanakama seems very strongly that you're going to be a Shomer Sachar, whether it was money or peros. So don't be metarit our Mishnah by saying, the Mishnah only assumes you're a Shomer Sachar because you lent peros. Not true. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Since it's the Gemara, no, it could be that it is the Tanakama Shita as well, because it could be Kula Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe the entire Mishnah is really Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe there is no Tanakama versus Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the second half of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda comes and explains there's a difference between Maos and Peros, is simply explaining the halach of the first half of the Mishnah. And this is how the Mishnah should really read. Hilvahu ala mashkon, shomer sachar. If you lend the money with a mashkon, so shomer sachar. But that's only if it was peros. That's what we're adding into the Mishnah. That we're qualifying what we said, that you're a Shomer Sachar on the Mashkon, that's only if the loan was on peros. But if you lent him money, you're a Shomer Chinam. Share Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because after all, we know Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that there's a difference between Hilvah Omaos and Hilvah Peros. So, Frank the Gemara, problem with that is, now that we've been metarits, that Rabbi Elazar is not against the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Elazar said when you watch a mashkon, you have a din of a shomer chinam, and now we're saying you're right. The Mishnah holds the exact same thing. If you lend money, you have a din of a shomer chinam. Problem is, Rabbi Akiva disagreed with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Akiva held that you have a din of a shomer sachar. You're going to be chayiv for the aveda. If it gets lost, if the mashkon gets lost, that's your payment. You lost it. Right? So then it's going to turn out that good, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Mishnah, but Rabbi Akiva is against the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is going to be against Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, that can't be. We'd rather say the Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, apparently, at first, we were uncomfortable with the Mishnah being against any known Shita in Tanaim. So we wanted to see if there was a way to make the Mishnah fit with everybody, with Rabbi Akiva, with Rabbi Eliezer. That would have been great. Problem is, if by saying that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar, we're by definition saying it's going against Rabbi Akiva, that's wrong. We don't want that to happen. We always prefer the Mishnah to be going like Rabbi Akiva than going like Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What difference does it make? Why do we prefer the Mishnah to be going like Rabbi Akiva? So Rashi says, "Tiktani avol mavo mo shabrochina v'anan kaimel mesach sanedrin bekulu stami." We say mesach sanedrin that every stam Tanaic statement, stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, stam Sifri Rabbi Shimon, point is, Vikulu Alibid Rabbi Akiva. Notice the people who are the Stams, Stam Mishnah, Stam Sifri, Stam Sifra, all of them are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So every Stam should in some way reflect the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So we'd rather not say that the Stam Mishnah is going against Rabbi Akiva, we'd rather say it's going against Rabbi Elazar than say it's going, look, if it can go like everybody, wonderful. Actually, if it can go like everybody, not really so wonderful. Because we already saw in Tosfos, and Tosfos is going to bring this up again, that if you're going to say the Tanakama of the Mishnah is going like both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, Tosfos wasn't comfortable with the idea that Rabbi Yehuda would take on both of them, that Rabbi Yehuda would argue on both of them. The only way it would really be wonderful is if the Mishnah could fit both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, is if you also say that Rabbi Yehuda fits with the Tanakhama also, like we just said, that it's a Chisur Mechsra, and that there's no further Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Okay, says the Gemara. Now, we had this Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. I have a Mashkon for a loan that I gave somebody, that and I lose the Mashkon, so Rabbi Elazar says all I have to do is swear that I wasn't Poshea, and I could still collect my money. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you lost the Mashkon, you lost your payment. What are they really arguing about? So the Gemara is going to suggest three possibilities, what they're really arguing about. Lema b'delo shavi Mashkon shir zuzi. Maybe the case is where the Mashkon isn't worth nearly as much as the actual loan was worth. And what are they arguing about? Ubed Shmuel kamifli. They're arguing about the sheet of Shmuel. Damer Shmuel, hay manda osfei, alfe zuzei l'chavre. If someone lends 1,000 zuz to his friend, va'anachle kata demagla ilavayu, and he gives him as a mashkon a handle of a sickle, something that's worth not 1,000 zuz, a lot less. Avad kata demagla, avdu alfe zuza. If you lose the kata demagla, you lose the el of zuz. So apparently, they're arguing within Shita Shmuel. Do you buy that or not? Do you assume that when something is worth a lot, a mashkon is worth a lot less than the payment, that you lose the loan, you lose the right to collect the loan when you lost that cheap mashkon? Or do you assume not that way? Do you assume, no, I only lost a $10 mashkon. Why should I lose my $1,000 loan? That's the whole machlokas Rav Elazar Rabbi Akiva. But if the mashkon is in fact worth $1,000, then kuli al melo pligi, everyone might agree that if you lost the mashkon, you can no longer collect the loan. So says Gemara, no, it's not true. If the mashkon is not worth the amount of the loan, everyone would disagree with Shmuel. Meaning everyone would say, you can still collect your money. The whole machlokas Rav Elazar and Akiva is only when the mashkon is worth 1,000 zuz. V'hacha, what are they really arguing about? B'deshavi shir zuzei, b'kamifli b'drabi Yitzchak. It's a case where it is worth 1,000 zuz, but they're arguing about Rabbi Yitzchak's din. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, minayim balchov shekona mashkon. How do we know that a balchov is kona a mashkon? That a balchov becomes like the owner of the mashkon? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when you give back the mashkon to the ani, because he needs it at nighttime to, you know, it's his pajamas and he needs it every night, so you give it back to him every night. So the pasuk says, ulechat yet tzedakah. It's like you did a great tzedakah. It's a great tzedakah for you. But if ain't a kona mashkon, tzedakah minale. If it's not yours, why is it tzedakah? If you, the lender, have not acquired the mashkon, so why is it giving it back to him considered a tzedakah? Charity is when you give something that's yours to somebody else. So why would that be a tzedakah? So mikan lebalchov shekona mashkon. So you see that a balchov is kona the mashkon. Ah, so that's the machlokes Rav Elazar Rabbi Akiva. Rav Elazar says balchov is not kona the mashkon, and therefore, if he loses the mashkon, he still has the right to collect the money because it wasn't his. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the balchov is kona the mashkon, and therefore he bears full responsibility for it. And if he loses the mashkon, he loses the right to his payment. But that's all assuming that the mashkon is worth the full $1,000 of the payment. So says Gemara, really, is that what they're arguing about? Vitizbra, Eimer dam Rabbi Yitzchak b'mashkanu shlo b'shas alvaso, amashkanu b'shas alvaso miyamar. One problem with that. Rabbi Yitzchak's whole din of balchov kona mashkon is only when you get the mashkon at a later time than the actual loan, like we pointed out before. But if you get the mashkon at the time of the loan, which we've already established has to be what both our Mishnah and our Brisa are talking about, because we had the lashon of hilvahu ala mashkon, which implies that you get the mashkon at the time of the alva. So Rabbi Yitzchak wouldn't say his din in such a case. Rabbi Yitzchak would never say balchov is kona mashkon when you get the mashkon at the shas alva. So don't tell me that they're arguing within Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak's not no gay over here. Ella mashkana shalom shas alva, so kuli alma islu Rabbi Yitzchak. Had the mashkon been shalom b'shas halvaya, everyone would agree with Rabbi Yitzchak, you're kona the mashkon, and if you lose it, you can no longer get your payment. What are they arguing about? V'hacha b'mashkono b'shas halvaya. So over here we're talking about where you got the mashkon at the time of the loan, and what are they really arguing about? U'b'shomer aveda k'miflagi. They're arguing about shomer aveda, the status of a shomer aveda. Are you called a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam? Meaning, when I am shomer aveda, I'm doing a mitzvah, and because I'm doing a mitzvah, if any other mitzvah were to come along, I'd be putter from stopping the mitzvah of shmirah and the aveda and going to do the other mitzvah. So maybe that means that I have a din of a shomer sachar, because I'm getting benefit from the fact that I'm putter from all of the mitzvahs while I'm being shomer the aveda. Maybe that's my schar. Or no, maybe I'm not getting paid for being shomer aveda, so I have a din of a shomer chinam. The schar mitzvah that I, the fact that I'm going to be part from other mitzvahs, come on, that doesn't count as schar. So the itmar shomer aveda, Rabba amar shomer chinam, Rav Yosef amar shomer sachar. Rabba says you're like a shomer chinam, and Rav Yosef says you're a shomer sachar. So that's the machlokas over here. Meaning, what's the machlokas over here? There's no aveda, no, but this is the exact same point. I lent the guy money. I was doing a mitzvah. So by doing a mitzvah, lending him money, do you consider me a shomer sachar? Or do you consider me a shomer chinam? Because I'm getting schar mitzvah, right? So if you look at Rashi, v'acha b'shomer aveda k'miflagi, the time of Rabbi Kiva mishum d'shomer sachar mitzvah hu, v'osik b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah, t'ibay lo yov rifta la'anya. Meaning the reason Rabbi Kiva considers the shomer amashkon the shomer sachar is because he's doing a mitzvah. And as long as you're doing a mitzvah, you're going to be patur from other mitzvahs. You're going to be patur from giving an ani bread if he comes by and asks you for it, because you're involved in another mitzvah. And that's what makes you a shomer sachar. That's what makes you considered to be someone who's been paid. Okay, so essentially we have three approaches, just to be absolutely clear. Three approaches as to what it is that Rav Elazar and Akiva are arguing about to begin with. The first approach was they're arguing in Shmuel's din of when the mashkon is not worth as much as the loan, is it still considered keneged the entire loan? Second approach was, they're arguing in Rabbi Yitzchak's din, whether the Baal Chov is kona the mashkon and therefore takes full responsibility for it. And the third approach is they're arguing about Rabbi Rav Yosef's din. Rav Yosef's din that a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Sachar. Do you in fact have a din of a Shomer Sachar over here as well, or do you have a din of a Shomer Chinam? Because the Schar Mitzvah doesn't, the fact that you can be putter from a Mitzvah doesn't count. There's just a couple of hours within each one. Within the first idea that they're arguing about a Mashkon that isn't worth nearly as much as the loan. So the Shita Mikbetzes quotes from the Ravid that you have been Mekabel on your, why would it be that I lose the right to collect $1,000 because I took a $10 mashkon? So Shimon Glass's quotes from the Ravid that's what you are Mekabel upon yourself when you take that mashkon. You're totally okay with that when you take that mashkon because you know that mashkon is going to provide you, a mashkon katan will provide you with the ability to collect the chov gadol. Because as the guy pays you back, you still don't have to return the mashkon. You can still keep on holding on to it as collateral as he keeps paying you back little by little until he pays you back that last bit. So you could tell him he's going to come give you $10 and say, okay, give me my handle back. And you're going to say, no, I'm not going to give it back. You still owe me a lot more than $10. And he'll keep on doing it. So that mashkon katan is going to be able to correspond to a chov gadol. So that's going to be enough that you are maskim meikara that the mashkon should be connected to kolachov. So Rabbi Kivega points out, so wait a second, this isn't really midine shomrin. This is midine what you're makabel on yourself. Right? The fact that mashkon is connected to kolachov and the responsibility you take for that mashkon is not, it doesn't really work midine shomrin. It's not that you're a shomer sachar and therefore if it gets lost, it's you lose your chov. No, it's because you explicitly were mekabel that this is connected to kolachov, but not midine the shomrin. So what? What difference does it make if it's midine shomrin or not midine shomrin? So there are nafkaminas, he says, because Rav Kivi Eger says even in cases where a normal shomer would be putter, like Baal Avimo, for instance, if you were mekabel on yourself that this is it, that you're taking this kind of kolachov, no such patur will exist. You're not bound by the normal halachos, by the normal dinim of shomer. We don't say the patur of Baal Avimo unless your chiyuv is midine shomrim. And further, he says af she'in chiyuv shomrim amur b'mitzvah shomer l'nachri. Dinei shomrim don't apply when you're being shomer something for a guy. But this, being makabel something on yourself, even if you're being shomer for a guy, this is how you're makabel it. That's it. The mashkon is connected to chalachov. Also, what if the mashkon is shtaros or avadim or karkaos, which aren't included in dinei shomrim? So again, but if you're makabel on yourself, so that's it. You're makabel on yourself. That's within answer number one. Then we pointed out the din of Rabbi Yitzchak of balchov kona mashkon. Now there's a machlokas rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos over here. Le'inyan what is the balchov kona mashkon? We don't have time to read it inside, but just to mention briefly outside, le'inyan what is the balchov kona mashkon? Rashi says you're kona to be chayiv in everything, even ba'onsin. If a balchov takes a mashkon and lightning strikes and hits the mashkon, something totally freaky happens that you never could have predicted or protected it from, still you're going to be chayiv. Even for onsin, you're going to be chayiv more than a shomer sachar if you hold balchov kona mashkon. Tosfos, however, says, no, balchov kona mashkon means you're only chayiv, you're only kona to be chayiv b'gnev v'aveda. Now, in Rashi's defense, it sounds very clear, the word kona means it's yours, right? The word kona, if it's yours, when I own something, if lightning strikes something I own and I don't have insurance on it, so that's it. I take the loss because I own it. I'm chayiv and own some also for something I own. So balchov kona mashkon really implies much more like Rashi, but Tosfos assumes that's not so. Tosfos asks, wait a second, why would you be considered a shomer sachar? What schar are you getting? So he says, because the schar you're getting is that you have the right to use it to be mekadesh ba'isha, things like that. So mela is considered as if you're getting some sort of schar for the mashkon. Okay, that's on answer number two. On answer number three, still in answer number two, balchov kona mashkon, just important ha'ara, Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin writes that even if you're not kona mashkon and it's not yours, still, meaning what was the whole raya of the balchov is kona mashkon? Because the pasuk says ulcha tia tzedaka, that when you give the mashkon back to the guy, it's a tzedaka. Even if it's not mine, isn't it still a tzedaka? Because anything I don't have to give back to him that I give back to him anyway, isn't that a tzedaka? Even if it's not my item, but I don't have to give it to him. So if I give it to him, shouldn't that be tzedaka anyway? That's what Tosfos and Daf Ches Amud Beis in Maseches Kiddushin asks. Tosfos answers that the diuk is not from the word tzedaka. Unbelievable, right? The diuk, he says, from the fact that it says v'shachav b'simlasa uverachicha, that he's going to bless you for this. Now wait a second. If I'm giving him his item back, him blessing me is ribis devarim. If I'm giving him my item, him blessing me is perfectly fine. It's not going to be ribis devarim. Must be balchov kona mashkon. Unbelievable. Totally against the passage of the Gemara. That's what Tosfos understands. It says the Nesivus, you see from here, ribis devarim is daraisa. Right? And if this is the din daraisa that we're darshaning, must be ribis devarim is daraisa. The holy sword of the din is based on ribis devarim. Also, Tosfos answered that it's not called tzedakah. The second answer, Tosfos is more partial. He says, it's not called tzedakah when you're not giving your item. It's only called tzedakah when you're giving your money, something that belongs to you. Okay, now we don't have time to get into the third answer. Okay, but there's a lot to discuss in Shomer Aveda also. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. Abishalom er mutal adam, right, that's what we're up to? Right, I'm sorry. So says the Gemara, lema de Rav Yosef Tanaihi. Wait a second, this third answer says that the machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rav Akiva is whether we think that someone who's Shomer Mashkon or a Shomer Aveda has a din of a Shomer Sachar. So you're really going to say that Rav Yosef's din is subject to a machlokas tanaim? I thought everyone agrees that Shomer Aveda has the din of a Shomer Sachar. Rav Yosef shouldn't be going against tanaim. So says the Gemara, lo, v'Shomer Aveda tukuli alma islud Rav Yosef. When you're a Shomer Aveda, maybe both Rav Elazar and Rav Akiva would agree that yes, when you're a Shomer Aveda, you're a Shomer Sachar. Because when you're a Shomer Aveda, you are pater from giving money to a poor person or whatever other mitzvahs might come your way. V'hacha, over here what they're arguing about is the case where the malva wants the mashkon, he needs the mashkon to use. So mar savar mitzvah ka'avit shel va'u v'avi shomer sachar. One sheet to hold, meaning Rabbi Kiva holds, that it's still that you did a mitzvah, that you lent him the money, and therefore you're a shomer sachar. Mar savar says, come on. You wanted it. You wanted the mashkon. You needed the mashkon. He said, "Lav mitzvah ka'avit shalanasa miskaven v'avishomer chinam." You weren't doing this l'shem mitzvah. You were doing this for your own hana, and therefore you're shomer chinam. Meaning, if you were getting it for your own hana, since you're getting your own benefit from it, so we're not going to say you're doing some grace of mitzvah, and therefore you have a din of a shomer sachar. No, you're doing it for your own hana. You have a din of a shomer chinam. The kasha that I was bothered with as soon as I saw this line in the Gemara is, wait a second, we have a word for that. When I give someone something in exchange for getting my own benefit from it. Right? What's that? That's not called a Shomer Chinam. That's called a Socher. No? Isn't that exactly a Socher? But if I'm taking the Mashkon because I want it, because I'm going to benefit from it, and I'm not doing it l'shem the mitzvah, I'm doing it l'shem just taking the Mashkon, so therefore I have a din of what? A Shomer Chinam? Why does that make me a Shomer Chinam? Just because I have an ulterior motive. Granted, I'm not a Shomer Socher, but a Shomer Chinam? I should be a Socher, and the Socher, by the way, has a din of a Shomer Socher, according to most, according to the way we paskin. So that's the major kasha. That's the major kasha that all the Rishonim and the Achronim ask. And how can you say he has a din of a Shomer Chinam? Shouldn't he have a din of a Socher? So the Rishonim answer in the name of the Ravid, that we're dealing in a case over here where you set a specific amount of time that you're allowed to use the Mashkon, and that time has since expired. So you're no longer a socher, meaning a socher is still allowed to use it. You used it for whatever, 2 weeks. 2 weeks are over now. You're still watching the mashkon. But when you originally took it, you didn't take it stam out of the goodness of your heart, right? You took it as because you wanted it, but you're no longer using it, so you can't still be a socher. That's what they say in the name of the Rabbin. The shach is metaretz that we're talking about a lovel is an ani, and the mashkon is one of those kelim that you're allowed to use to take off, to deduct from the money that he owes you, and you're allowed to do that even without his rishus. So that's what makes it not a socher arrangement. The socher arrangement can only be done with his rishus. Pnei Yeshua's metaretz that the socher is someone who's chayav al schiruso and can't go back on it. When I rent something for 30 days, I can't go back 15 days and say, you know what, I don't want to rent it for the next 15, give me half my money back. I'm not allowed to do that. But a shomer mashkon, since he can be a chozer at any time, so that's what distinguishes him from a socher. And the Bir Yadav quotes, the Darkei David is metaretz, that since over here the kavana of the malva is to take the mashkon, and he doesn't want to use it, his primary kavana is to take the mashkon, not to use it, and had it not been for the loan, he never would have rented this mashkon. It's just that once he's lending the money, and he figures he can get the mashkon, so he might as well use it also. So that's why he's not a socher. The socher is when I see something that I want to rent a car, so I go and I rent a car. That's not what's going on over here. Just one other critical ha'ara before we run weiter. In what's the machlokes from Lazar and Akiva if I'm using it for my own benefit, whether I've din of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Socher? So the Bir Halacha writes that the pashas of the machlokes is when I do a mitzvah for my own hana'a, not for the sake of the mitzvah, am I mekayim a mitzvah or not? That's what the yisod of the machlokes is. If you consider a mekayim mitzvah, so then I'm pater from any other mitzvah, so I gain the prutah Rav Yosef, and therefore I'm a Shomer Socher. If I'm not mekayim a mitzvah, I'm not pater from other mitzvahs, I don't gain the prutah Rav Yosef, I'm a Shomer Chinam. That's the yisod of the machlokes. And based on that, he asks on the sheet of the Magen Avraham about people who sell tefillin, where the Magen Avraham says that if your main kavana in selling the tefillin is just to make a parnasa, you're not pater from other mitzvahs. He says, why not? We pass on like Rabbi Akiva. It would turn out, if you cheshbin it out, according to Rabbi Akiva, you should still be pater from other mitzvahs. So Rav Chanan is mechalik between when I'm doing something that actually is a mitzvah, but I'm not having kavana l'shem mitzvah, versus selling tefillin, which itself is not a mitzvah, it's just a Hechsher mitzvah. So there you would actually need kavana l'shem mitzvah to be part from other mitzvahs. It says in Gemara Vayter, Abishalomer, mutar la'adam, lahasker mashkona shalani l'yos pachas v'alich. You can deduct what the ani owes you by renting out the mashkon that he gives you. Amar avchana barami, amar shmuel, halach kabishol, we pass on like kabishol. V'af abishol lo amar el b'maro pasal v'kardom, hol v'nafesh v'gray v'zutu p'schayu. Even Abishol only says this by kelim that can be used a lot and there's very little devaluation of the kelim as you use them. So it's good for the ani for you to continue to rent them out. Says the Mishnah, Mavir Chavos Makom Makom Mishavra. If you're moving a barrel from one place to another and it breaks, Bein Shomer Chinam, Bein Shomer Sachar, Yeshava. Whether you're Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, you have to swear that you aren't Poshea. Rav Lezer Omer Zeveze Yeshava. Rav Lezer says, you're right, you have to swear, but Vitamiani Michol and Zeveze Yeshava. But he says, I don't get it. I don't understand why. How can you become Pater with a Shvua? Why is a Shvua going to help you? Right, if you have the status of a Shomer Socher, so what? You swear that you aren't Poshea? Why should that help you? So he says, I don't understand, but you're right, I do have such a Masorah as well. Tan Rabbanan, Mavir Chavis Chavero, Mimakom Lamakom Vishavra, Bein Shomer Chinam, Bein Shomer Socher, Yeshava Divra Meir. Rav Meir holds, like we say in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shomer Chinam Yeshava, Nosi Socher Yeshalem. A Shomer Chinam is going to swear, a Shomer Socher is going to have to pay, though. Rabbi Elazar Omer Zevze Yeshava, Vitamiani, Michal Zevze Yeshava. Then Rabbi Elazar says, no, I agree that like what Rav Meir says, I have a Masorah like that as well, that both both of them have to swear, but I really wonder why that's the case. I really don't know why that's the case. Those are the three shittos. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start to analyze those three shittos, and we will finish the parak, start a new parak tomorrow.